I've got some good news today. Can anybody bear some good news? But before we do that, we're going to recap last week's message. Last week we talked about you are of such great worth. You are so valuable to God. And friend, you know, no matter what anybody has said to you in the past, as a child, as an adult, that you weren't worth much, guess what? They were inspired of the enemy, who was a liar and the father of lies. Jesus said it in John 8:44. You are of such great worth in the eyes of God. You are a diamond in the eyes of God. And you've got to start seeing yourself, friend, as God sees you. Why are you so valuable to God? We talked about this last week. First of all, because you are created in the image of God, according to Genesis 1, verses 26 through 27. Part of God is on the inside of everybody on the face of this earth. In a spiritual sense, you are flesh of God's flesh and bone of God's bone. Another reason as to why you are so valuable to God is because of the price that was paid for you and for me. What price was paid for us? The precious blood of Christ, the blood of infinite and priceless worth, was paid for your sins and my sins. Why? Because our value to God is priceless. It's invaluable. Does that make sense? So God sees you as a diamond. He sees you as so valuable. That's the way you've got to start seeing yourself. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. The way you think about yourself will be the way you act toward yourself. So every day that you look at yourself in the mirror, say, you know what? I am so valuable because God sees me as valuable. I am created in the image of God, and the blood of Jesus was shed for me. Speak it to yourself over and over, and what you speak to yourself, you'll start believing about yourself. Amen? Amen. All right, today I want to begin a study on Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and today we're going to talk about our loving shepherd. Our loving shepherd. Let's turn to Psalm 23, verse 1. Everybody here may know Psalm 23 by heart, right? It's so famous. But let's study it a little bit today and in the following weeks. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Friends, the good news is that we serve a loving shepherd, God, the creator of heaven and earth. What did Jesus say in John 10:11? He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. God is our loving shepherd. I want to read an email, or actually I got this off a website called The Father's Love Letter. It's an intimate message from God to you. Listen to these words. It comes with scriptures, but I'm just going to read the words. You may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I'm familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I'm not distant and angry, but I'm the complete expression of love. And it's my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you received comes from my hand. For I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sands on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you can possibly ever imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe every tear from your eyes. and I'll take all the pain you have suffered on this earth. Take it away. I am your Father, and I love you as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins against you. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love your dad, Almighty God. That's awesome, isn't it? A love letter from God to you straight from His written Word. God loves you so very much. He is our loving shepherd. Psalm 23:1. And He's the good shepherd. And it says, I shall not be, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. How can we translate that? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want of anything that I need. Another way to put it is this. The Lord is my shepherd. And He will supply for all of my needs. Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. And He will supply for all of my needs. You know, it sounds a lot like what Paul wrote in Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. How many here agree today that we serve a loving shepherd and He loves us so very much? Remember, our loving shepherd is a good shepherd. What did Jesus write in Matthew 7, verse 11? Matthew 7, 11. This is what He says. If you then, though you are evil, or having a sin nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, talking to earthly fathers, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? God is the giver of good gifts. What does James write in James 1:17? That every good and perfect gift comes from where? Comes from above, from the Father of heavenly lights. Remember this, say it. My loving shepherd is my good shepherd. Friends, God is a good God. He is the author of good, and He's got something good in store for your life. Amen?
Amen.
He wants to provide for all of your needs. He wants to provide for your temporal needs as well as for your spiritual need. What are your temporal needs? What are your temporal needs? The basic necessities. The here and now, what is? The essential goods of our life. Your temporal needs are the here and now needs here on this earth. He's here to provide for your emotional needs. Friends, you may be in depression today. Down on the inside, guess what? You can have the joy of the Lord. You can have the comfort of God. He wants to provide it. If you're sick today, He can provide you with the need of healing in your life. He is the healer of all diseases. Do you agree today?
Amen.
He can provide for your physical healing needs. The Lord is my shepherd. He will provide for all of my needs. You know, you may have a need for a job. Guess what? God can provide for your job. You may make a certain amount of money per hour. Whatever it is, $4 or $5 an hour, God can provide you with more. He can provide you with a job or a better paying job. You may be in a broken relationship with somebody right now. Maybe a past spouse, maybe a friend, somebody who's been a best friend, and maybe you're out of relationship with that person. God can provide the need of reconciliation in your life. For our loving shepherd is our good shepherd, and He provides for all of our temporal needs. Amen? Not only for our temporal needs, but for our greatest spiritual need, God wants to provide. What need is that? Our loving shepherd wants to provide for the greatest spiritual need that we have. What is that?
Salvation.
Plain and simple. For relationship with God. You know, somebody once said this. Everybody is born with a God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. Let me say it again. Everybody is born with a God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. Did you know that all of creation, humanity, whether they know it or not, yearns for a relationship with its creator? Let me say it again. All of creation, all of humanity, whether they know it or not, yearns for a relationship with the Creator. So the spiritual need of relationship with the Creator is fulfilled how? The spiritual need of fellowship with God is fulfilled by relationship with Jesus Christ. By saying, Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord. Take the reins of my life. Full control of every part of my life. Here's the news, friends. The provision of your temporal needs begins with the fulfillment of your spiritual need of relationship with God by faith in Christ. That's the first step you've got to take. Let me put it in plain terms. If you've got emotional needs, a need of healing in your body, a need for a better job, a need for relationship, whatever the need might be, it all begins with the fulfillment of the spiritual need of relationship with God by faith in Jesus Christ. So in other words, God will meet your needs if you take the first step and say, God, I surrender my life to your Son, Jesus Christ. I surrender my life to your Son, Jesus Christ. I received an email called The Pastor and His Son. A good reminder of God's love. Every Sunday afternoon, after the morning service at the church, the pastor and his 11-year-old son would go out into their town and hand out gospel tracts. One Sunday afternoon, as it came time for the pastor and his son to go to the streets with the tracts, it was very cold outside, as well as pouring down rain. The boy bundled up in his warmest and driest clothes and said, okay, Dad, I'm ready. His pastor dad asked, ready for what? Dad, it's time we gather our tracts together and go out. Dad responds, son, it's very cold outside and it's pouring down rain. The boy gave his dad a surprised look, asking, but Dad, aren't people still going to hell, even though it's raining? Dad answered, son, I'm not going out in this weather. Despondently, the boy asked, Dad, can I go, please? His father hesitated for a moment and said, son, you can go. Here are the tracts. Be careful, son. Thanks, Dad. Hey, Brett, come up. Finish reading it. Brett Patterson. And with that, read right here.
And with that, he was off and out into the rain. His 11-year-old boy walked the streets of the town, going door to door and handing everybody he met in the street a gospel tract. After 2 hours of walking in the rain, he was soaking, bone-chilled wet, down to his very last tract. He stopped on the corner and looked for someone to hand a tract to, but the streets were totally deserted. Then he turned toward the first home he saw and started up the sidewalk to the front door and rang the bell. He rang the bell. Nobody answered. He rang it again and again. Still, no one answered. He waited, but still no answer. Finally, his 11-year-old trooper turned to leave, but something stopped him. Again, he turned to the door and rang the bell, knocked loudly on the door with his fist. He waited, something holding him there on the front porch. He rang again and again. This time, the door slowly opened. Standing in the doorway was a very sad-looking elderly lady. She softly said, What can I do for you, son? With radiant eyes and a smile that lit up her world, this little boy said, Ma'am, I'm sorry if I disturbed you, but I just want to tell you that Jesus really does love you. And I came to my very, very last gospel tract, which was to tell you all about Jesus and his great love. With that, he handed her his last tract and turned to leave. She called to him, and he departed. Thank you, son, and God bless you. Well, the following Sunday morning in church, Pastor Dad was in the pulpit. As the service began, he asked, Does anybody have any testimony or want to say anything? slowly in the back row of the church, an elderly lady stood to her feet. As she began to speak, a look of glorious radiance came from her face. "No one in this church knows me. I've never been here before. You see, before last Sunday, I was not a Christian. My husband passed on some time ago, leaving me totally alone in this world. Last Sunday, being a particularly cold and rainy day, it was even more so in my heart that I came to the end of the line where I no longer had any hope or will to live. So I took a rope and a chair and ascended the stairway into the attic of my home. I fastened the rope securely to a rafter in the roof, then stood on the chair and fastened the other end of the rope around my neck. Standing on that chair, so lonely and brokenhearted, I was about to leap off when suddenly the loud ringing of my doorbell downstairs startled me. I thought, I'll wait a minute and whoever it is will go away. I waited and waited, but the ringing of the doorbell seemed to get louder and louder, more insistent, and then the person ringing also started knocking loudly. Started knocking loudly. I thought to myself again, who on earth could this be? Nobody ever rings my bell or comes to see me. I loosened the rope from my neck and started for the front door, and while the bell rang louder and louder, when I opened the door and I looked, I could hardly believe my eyes, for there on my front porch was the most radiant, angelic-looking boy I'd ever seen in my life. His smile, oh, I could never describe it to you. The words that came from his mouth caused my heart, that had long been dead, to leap to life as he exclaimed with a cherub-like voice, "Ma'am, I just came to tell you that Jesus really does love you." Then he gave me this gospel tract that I now hold in my hand. As the little angel disappeared back into the cold again, I closed my door and read slowly every word of this gospel tract. Then I went into my attic to get my rope and my chair. I wouldn't be needing them anymore. You see, I'm now a happy child of the King. Since the address of your church was on the back of the gospel tract, I have came here to personally say thank you to the God's little angel who just came in the nick of time. I wouldn't be needing them anymore. In the nick of time, sorry about that. And by doing so, spared my soul from an eternity in hell.
There was not a dry eye in the church.
As the shouts of praise and honor to the King resounded off the very rafters of the building, Pastor Dad descended from the pulpit to the front pew where that little angel seated.
That's awesome, isn't it? This woman was about to commit suicide. Why? Why? As he read, because her husband had passed away some time ago, so she was depressed. She had an emotional need for God's joy and comfort in her life. She was about to commit suicide, and this little boy comes up to her and says, "Jesus really does love you." She read the gospel tract. She eventually gave her life to Christ. And she was alive that day to give the testimony. Her emotional need was met when? When she took the first step and did what? Accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It was when her spiritual need of relationship with God the Father by faith in Christ was fulfilled that her emotional need was met. Is that making sense today? So friends, I don't know what it is that you're dealing with today. Emotional, spiritual, financial, job-wise, healing in your body, whatever the need might be, it all begins with one big step. What is that step? Accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Now, I've said this before, I'll say it again. God is not obligated to bless anyone who rejects Him or is walking and living in rebellion to Him. Anybody who says, "God, this is my life. I do with my life what I want to do with it. God, I want you to do nothing with my life. I want the steering wheel of my life. God, this is my life. Let me do with it what I want to do." God is not obligated to bless that type of attitude. Obviously so. He's not obligated to meet the need of somebody who is living in rebellion to Him. See, a person who rejects God reaps the consequences of that rejection. How many here know the parable of the prodigal son? Luke chapter 15. Let me just summarize it. Read it next, you know, when you get a chance this week. Luke chapter 15. Basically, the son says to his dad, "Dad, I want my inheritance ahead of time before you die. It was like he was telling his dad, Dad, you're as good as dead to me. Just give me the money. So the dad gave him the inheritance. And so what did the son do? He went and he squandered that inheritance, spent it in wild living. And guess what? He ended up with the pigs. Right? He ended up with the pigs. He basically rejected his dad and he ended up reaping the consequences of that rejection, living with the pigs. And he said, you know what? He came back to his senses and said, you know what? My dad's servants have food. They have their needs met. I'm going back to my dad. I am going to repent to my dad. And that's exactly what he did. He went back to his dad and said, Dad, I am sorry. Dad, I repent before you. I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The father said to the servants in verse 22, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his fingers and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and today he is found. The father was there with arms wide open, ready to accept the son. He never gave up on that son. But while that son was living in rebellion towards his dad, what happened to the son? He was reaping the consequences of that rejection, of that rebellion. He was eating with the pigs. He was poor. He spent everything he had. But once he repented and said, Dad, I'm coming back into relationship with you. Guess what? His needs were then met again. Kill the fattened calf, the need for food. Put a robe on him, the need for clothing. The father said, I am going to provide now for your needs because you have come back into relationship with me. And the father in that parable represents who? It represents Father God. If you're rejecting God, you know, and outwardly with your words, you might not be rejecting God, but only God can read the inner thoughts of your heart. Only God knows whether you're saying on the inside, God, you know what? I'm pushing you away. God, I really don't want much to do with you. God, this is my life. I want to do with my life what I want to do with it. Only God knows the thoughts that occur in your heart. And if you've got those kind of thoughts and you feel that your life is your own and you're in control of your own life, then guess what? You are going to reap the consequences of that rebellion just like the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. But if you change your mind, if you have a change of heart like the son did and said, God, I'm sorry for rejecting you. God, I'm sorry for taking my life into my own hands. God, I repent. I turn back to you. I want relationship with you. If that's the cry of your heart, then guess what? God will meet the temporal needs that you have on this earth because God blesses those who place faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? So how do you come back into relationship with God the Father who yearns for fellowship with you? By faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. By saying, Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord. You know, God has His arms wide open. He never gives up on humanity. You know, a person may have rejected God all of his life. All of his life. And the sad thing is, if that person continues to reject on his deathbed, the consequence that he will reap, if he dies, is eternal separation from God. But God is so loving. He's our loving shepherd. Never gives up on us. That even if a person has rebelled against God all of his life, has rejected God all of his life, with God standing there with his arms wide open, if on his deathbed that rebellious person says, God, I am sorry for rejecting you. God, I am sorry for rebelling against you. If that person has a change of heart, humbles his heart, guess what? When that person slips out of his body, he will be in heaven forever and ever with our loving shepherd God, creator of heaven and earth. Amen? And so, friend, I don't know where you are today. I don't know what need you face in your life. But it all begins with taking the first step and starting a relationship with God by faith in Jesus Christ. And maybe you had that faith at one point. But maybe you got upset with God or you got upset with somebody. And you slipped away from Christ.
There's good news. There's still time. God is standing with his arms wide open, ready to accept you. But you've got to take the first step and say, God, I am recommitting my life to your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
God will bless those who place faith in Christ and say, God, I want fellowship with you. Brother Kevin, he's got a quick word, a testimony.
Then it says in Revelation 7:17, and this letter says, For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them. I want you to remember that word, lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away the tears from their eyes. I want you to realize something. How many of you, now truthfully, in my life, several times I've raised my hand for salvation over the years, especially when I was very young. And I kept doing that. You know why I kept doing that? Because I'd say, lead me, but I wouldn't follow. Some of you have said, yeah, I'll accept the salvation, but I won't follow. You understand where I'm coming from? That's a choice that you have to make to follow. There's more to the relationship than saying, okay, I accept your salvation, but I won't follow. And I came to a place in my life that I realized that time after time, when I was a younger man, raising my hand to accept salvation, I wasn't really following. And that's why I kept doing it. But then I made up my mind. I chose to follow, and I was set free. And today, we're giving you a chance to follow.
Amen. Following Jesus Christ, making Him Savior and Lord. Amen? Just like the Son, the prodigal Son and the Father in Luke 15, He had a change of heart. He said, Dad, I'm sorry for rebelling against you, for rejecting you. And the Father was there all along with arms wide open. And He blessed His Son, gave Him what He needed temporarily on this earth. God wants to do the same for you, but you've got to decide to follow His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, your life is like an automobile. I've said this before. You may be in the seat, the driver's seat of your life, but somebody else wants to be in the driver's seat of your life. And guess who that is? Jesus Christ. He wants to be in the driver's seat of your life. He wants to take the reins of your life. He wants to take the steering wheel of your life. He wants to be in full control of every part of your life. And so it's when you take that first step to say, God, I want relationship with you. I give my life to you. Jesus, take full control of my life. When you take that first step so that the spiritual need for relationship with God is fulfilled, then God will meet the other needs in your life. But you've got to take that first step. And only you and God really know deep down in the depths of your heart whether or not you are really living for God and Jesus, or whether you are in rebellion today. Jesus Christ is coming back very soon. He's going to split the eastern sky. He's going to come back to this earth to take His church. And my question to you today is this: Are you ready to be one of the ones who is taken back with Jesus Christ to heaven? Or will you be one of the ones who is left behind? Say it with me today. I want to be one of the ones who is taken away when Jesus appears a second time on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. And for you to be taken away with Jesus Christ and the church, you've got to be a true follower of Christ. A true follower of Christ is one who has submitted his entire life to the kingship of Jesus.